to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Monday, May 12th, and it is time to check in with Dr. Bob Weiss from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Hey, good morning, Andy, to you and your listeners.
Well, thank you. Happy Monday.
Oh, yeah. It's a good day. It's beautiful outside, so I guess we might get some rain, but I always tell people when it starts to rain, read Isaiah 55:10 and the following, because it talks about kind of like, as the rain and the snow come down to water the grass and so forth, so my word, when it comes down, doesn't return to me empty, but accomplishes the purpose for which I send. So we take God's good creation, and he's always teaching us something. There's always lessons to learn.
Amen. I appreciate the picture language there, that as the rain and the snow come down, so God's word comes to us in word and sacrament. It comes to us and he feeds us and he does things in it that we don't even see or understand.
Yes, we live in a very more visual world than we did several decades ago, certainly with the computer, TV, and how all of these things are changing our lives, at least visually. And even for those people who are blind or deaf or hard of hearing, they too experience this in a different way, as I've been told. But still, when people describe things to them, you know, they see how God continues to speak to us through his word, as you have mentioned, through the sacraments and the gospel and all of his creation, how beautiful it is. So it's all good, and as I always tell my young grandchildren and the students at the seminary, God's always teaching us. Always a lesson.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you have for us this morning in topics?
Yeah, actually, this is a very a typical Bob White sort of a side joke, being from South St. Louis. It's a fishy story. I've always been concerned, Andy, and I think your listeners have heard me say this before, that there are some, and I'm not going to quantify this, but I know I've heard people say, you know, Bob, this whole thing with Darwin and evolution, that's kind of old stuff, and, you know, we need to get into more sophisticated issues about the galaxy and the cosmos, and that's understandable, and that's fine if one's an astronomer or and wants to get into that and study how God has created all of this. But the whole issue of Darwinian evolution, materialistic Darwin, that we came from old world monkeys over 60 million years ago, but eventually, ultimately, of course, came from the waters of the sea, it still is embedded into, of course, a lot of minds of young people that are taking science courses in middle school and high school, biology classes, and certainly in college, they take classes that deal with paleontology and so forth. So in the New York Times every Tuesday is their science section, so I do read that to see what they're saying, and always, and here's the story, what fish teach us about us. And this is a professor, Neil Shubin, and he's up at the University of Chicago, and he's the dean and professor of anatomy at the University of Chicago School of Medicine, and he just published a book called Your Inner Fish, and he says he discovered, well, he shows it here, a 375-million-year-old fish called Tikalik, and it's Tikalik. It's spelled T-I-K-T-A-A-L-I-K, and the reason he says this, he said this is the so-called missing link between the first fish that is in the water and mammals on land with appendages. And so he says, I think we found, you know, how they make the transition from water to land. And then, of course, from water to land, then you eventually, over millions of years, 200 million years or more later, you get human beings coming from this. And this is what he says, here's the connection. And he says, I'm a fish paleontologist. And then they say, well, like our ear bones and our jaw bones started out as gill bones, then this, from his viewpoint, proved very relevant. And so he says that when we study fish, we can learn a great deal about ourselves and the similarities between fish and man, primarily because, once again, he believes that the ear bones and the jaw bones started out as gill bones. He doesn't prove that in this article in the New York Times, the Tuesday section, but people read this and they go, oh, so we are related to fish. And, of course, that speaks and militates against the scriptures and especially the explanation to the first article of the Apostolic Creed, that I believe that God has made me and all creatures and so forth. So that this fish that he found is just another creature that God has placed in the water a few thousand years ago. And it is not a transitional element, even though it may have appendages from his viewpoint that look like they could be, as he says, and we could see that these could do push-ups and form and a form of walking from his viewpoint, how fish fins evolved into limbs. And then, of course, this progresses over millions and millions of years. So my concern, once again, is just to say and to call back to the first article of the Apostolic Creed and Luther's explanation and Genesis 1 and Hebrews and the Psalms about how God has done all of this himself through his word, his spoken word, and that we believe, teach, and confess that this didn't happen millions and millions of years ago. Because he does say, you know, he uses subjective language in here. He says, we think this is a good possibility, but he doesn't know for sure if these limbs that these fish had caused them to do push-ups and then be able to walk on land. Even if they could walk on land, they're fish, and they have to return, much like an amphibian, a frog. A frog can be air-breathing for a while and then has to go back into the water. So anyway, that's just one of the side issues here that continues to creep up, and so I always suggest to the seminarians that I teach, the deaconesses and the MDiv and colloquy students and SMP and EIT students, wherever you go where God has called you to serve, you get a high school or a grade school biology or science book and find out what's being taught so that you're informed, not to grind your axe, but at least to be aware that these issues of Darwinian evolution from monkey to man is still very prominent. And we have people like this doctor up at the University of Chicago at the School of Medicine that says, yeah, of course, we are very similar to fish. And certainly Darwin talks about that in his book, The Origin of Species and the Descent of Man.
Well, we've talked about this particular fish before with also on Creation Club with Pastor Wirth. And when he was talking about the fish legs, I had to point out that, you know, maybe we could start a chain restaurant selling fried fish legs.
Instead of doing wings, let's do fish legs. I did not realize you did that. Otherwise, I would have changed the subject.
Oh no! It's a good. I think it's an important topic to revisit, and it just shows how this comes up in media repeatedly. That where we come from and that society has accepted for the most part the idea that we have evolved from one species to another, and we know that that's not true according to God's word, and even from observable science we know that that's not true.
Well, it is, and you know, they ask him if anybody has been laughing at him in this, and he says, oh, of course not, no. He says, you know, in so many words, he says, yeah, there's a lot of people out there that don't believe this and don't agree with it, but it is what it is. And he just thinks that when they discovered this up in northern Canada, I had to write this book called Your Inner Fish. I haven't read the book, but I am going to get it because I want to be informed so that whenever I talk about this, and I always bring in Darwin, materialistic Darwin, into its impact on just so many things in our lives, because there are people that want to believe in parts of Darwin, and this may sound a little weird coming from a professor at the seminary, but of course, when Darwin talks about how birds change, and we know that there are changes within the kinds. And he mentions that in his book, but it's just when he makes these gigantic leaps, you know, from monkeys to humans in the end of his first book, Origin of Species, and all throughout his second book on the Descent of Man, That, of course, is what we say. No, there's nothing in the scriptures to support any of that. And even Charles Darwin had difficulty with his theory, which, of course, by scientists is considered law, is that the missing links. And he mentions that in the last two chapters of his book, The Origin of Species. So I think it's important for people to realize that these things are coming. They still continue to surface. Sometimes it's pretty quiet over several years. Now all of a sudden we have this book out called The Inner Fish that other professors, other teachers in some of the schools our kids go to, certainly they're going to be talking about this, and they're going to show the pictures of this fish with these fins that look like legs. And so, see, this is how it all works over millions, and then because they have to have millions of years for all of this to work. And he doesn't indicate how he dated this fish, except that they date everything around the fish, but never the fish itself, because mm-hmm. they can't, because it's dead. So, you're right. This is a huge concern that continues to crop up, and we need to be tuned in and aware, and then go back to the basics of the scriptures and the confessions, and hold fast to our faith that God is the creator and not Charles Darwin.
Mm, absolutely. That God is the creator of all, and that's where truth lies, is in God's word. And we see it in, as you were pointing out, in observable science around us.
Well, we do, and I think I just get maybe too inflamed over this kind of stuff, but it is, you're correct, and it's a good thing to point out. I mean, here you have the New York Times, even though it's very liberal, but people still read this, especially the science section, and we have magazines all over the place in different bookstores about this. It's been on the front of National Geographic, and so you can't serve two masters. You can't say, well, I believe this part of Darwin, but not that part, but I also believe in God, and then you turn out to be what's called a theistic evolutionist, where God uses all of these things over millions of years, and you evolve with God. And, of course, that is an oxymoron. You can't believe in materialistic evolution and God, the creator of the Bible, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You can't serve two masters. And so you can't serve both God and mammon. So I think that this calls us to read and study what people are saying. But by God's grace, we hold faith holds to the words and promises of Christ, and not to the words, the objective or subjective words of Charles Darwin and everybody else that's came before him and now has come after him and still believes this.
Amen. Absolutely. We've got to stick with God's word. That's where we know the truth is. Well, Doctor. Oh, go ahead.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. You're right.
Well, Dr. Weiss, always good to check in with you. And
okay.
I know that you'll be working on more topics for next week. Always good to have you point us back to the truth. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Okay. And God's peace to you and your listeners.
Thanks. Bye-bye. God's peace to you as well. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll study the Daily Lectionary. We'll get to that right after AP Radio News and the weather forecast right here on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.